Hey everyone, my name is Dave Nixon and welcome to the Alpha Theta Flow podcast. This is Flow 660 and today I'm going to talk a little bit about fear and the shortcut to fear. Now, just a reminder, I am doing my best to make sure I can keep up these daily podcasts. I really want to make sure that the audio is fantastic for you as well. So what that means is that if it's if it sounds silly, though, I'm inside, it's weather permitting and time permitting with the businesses around me until we move into a new studio later this year. So if I miss a day or two, I do apologize. There will be five each week in some varying capacity. That's where we start today. So anyway, one thing I want to share with you guys today is a lovely passage that I came across, and I want to talk to that. Now, I think one of the key things, the key message with this isn't just the message of the passage that I'll share, but also there is a multitude of different ways to say effectively the same thing. Now, the powerful thing about this is that we may hear one thing one way and it makes no fucking sense. And then we hear the exact same thing said at a different, like slightly different way with different words, different meanings, whatever the case may be. And it absolutely hits home. We may even go to the point where we're like, why has no one said this before? Right? Because the right thing to the right person at the wrong time is not the right thing to say. And that's a really important point. If you're in conversation and you're like, how can you not see this? But it's at the wrong time for that individual, then it doesn't matter how right it is. It's wrong because it's not the right time. Timing's absolutely crucial. So I think one of the key things here is being able to be aware of how many different variations there are to say practically the same thing. And I think this is another beautiful example. And I guess there's a lot of beauty in the variety of different ways that the same things can be said for a multitude of different reasons as well. And part of that is because when I talk and I explain things the way that I do, I have particular meanings and I have particular semantics behind the words that I'm using. And I mentioned this before, some people try and use semantics to explain why semantics are important. It's like, well, that's just semantics. It's like, you're using semantics there to explain why semantics are important. You're just trying to buff out your own point. It's ridiculous. And so the beauty in that we get to express ourselves in varying different ways. Now, in saying that, we also have this amazing opportunity to be able to get on the same page as the other person and calibrate. And this is one of the key things that coaching really does well is calibration. And calibration is, you know, how are you using this word? And I know what that means for me. What does that mean for you? Is there other ways that you could explain that? You know, what's another word you would use to explain the exact same thing? All of these are variations in understanding what the other person is expressing. And it's worth doing that even if they can't answer. As in, if they're reading a book. Like, are you reading a book and you're actually going, what is this person really attempting to say? What are they really trying to say in this message? Am I on the same page as them? Or am I reading it in my way and interpreting it in my way and that's it? It's a really powerful thought. So this passage is actually from J.R.R. Tolkien. A man that flies from his fear may find that he has only taken a shortcut to meet it. A man that flies from his fear may find that he has only taken a shortcut to meet it. When we avoid the thing that we need to face the most, it doesn't go away. It gets stronger. It gets worse, so to speak. And the difficulty of that is that we don't get rid of it, we delay it. We delay it until we have to address it when it's absolutely is a fucking elephant in the room. And so when we remind ourselves that on the other side of fear is freedom, and a lot of that freedom isn't physical freedom, a lot of that freedom is mental freedom, although there's no gaps. Like, there's, if you're holding on to something mentally or emotionally, then your body is absolutely holding on to it as well. It's like, why am I so tired recently? It's like, well, what shit are you not dealing with? All right? And so when we can see ourselves as a whole being and not just a biological human, as if it's like, well, all my data on my heart rate monitor says that I should be sleeping fine. What's going on? It's like, fuck, maybe you're not journaling. Maybe you're not getting all your thoughts out and understanding the structures that you have in mind that are bothering you the most. Maybe you're attempting to deal with subjective issues from an objective approach. And we start to see this and we start to take a longer look at it and go, hang on a sec, life isn't empirical. That's a very important component of it, but there is so much more. And whatever we fear, even if it is unconscious, we know, because there is this form of friction or static or this hesitancy, and the outside world will trigger it, but it belongs on the inside world. The outside world may trigger it, but it belongs on the inside world. So rather than just avoiding the outside world, it's worth asking, what is it triggering with inside me? What is it causing me to fear this? And then you may see, if you ask a question wanting to know the answer, you may see that there's a certain level of a lack of trust, or you may see that there's a certain level of conditional self-worth, self-esteem, self-value. And all of these things are core issues. Changing your environment will not change these issues, because then you become conditional on your environment. It doesn't mean you shouldn't change your environment. What it means is that changing your physical objective in environmental systemic approach doesn't change the inner difficulties that we're avoiding, that we're not facing, that we may fear. And so if we avoid it, right, if we fly from our fear as if it's going to disappear somewhere, all we're doing is shifting it. And object relation theories talk directly to that. You have a relationship with a particular object, and then unless you have dealt with that difficulty on deep levels, you'll just simply shift the object. You'll go from that object, and then you'll project that onto another object. So, turn to your fear. That's where your answers are. And on that note, team, I'm done. Thank you very much for tuning in. If you found this podcast beneficial, it would mean the world to me if you would pass it on to someone else who you think would also find it beneficial. And if you haven't already, you can grab a copy of my book, Mining Yourself, anywhere online that sells books, or at alphathetaflow.com if you'd like one personally signed by me. If you're an athlete, a coach, or a high performer, and you're wanting to find out how to find your flow, then check out alphathetaflow.com and get in touch, because I'd love to have a chat with you. But that's it from me. Big love, peace and pizza. I'll see you all soon.